This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
Welcome back to another episode of The Reality Is. And it's your hosts, Arthi, Noor, and Harold.
He got his 15 seconds of fame.
He was like, bitch, let me on the mic.
I was telling my husband that Harold is so famous now. And he's like, can I come and say something in the background? Maybe I get that 15 seconds.
No. Dogs only.
Yeah, it's like, you're not cute.
The only way your husband could ever get on the podcast is if he came in and barked like Harold. Then yes, maybe we would think about it.
And I shouted back at him, shut up.
Okay, Arthi, I'm going to tell you two truths and a lie. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
I watched the Beverly Hills trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited to watch the season.
Okay.
And I'm mostly excited about Kathy Hilton. Which one of those is the lie?
Oh my God, that's a hard one. The first one is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The second and the third. I think the Kathy Hilton one is the lie.
Because even though I know it's going to be such a bad season, I'm like, man, that Beverly Hills trailer gets me every time. Every time I'm like, hey, this does look good. And then like three episodes, I'm like, fuck this fucking show. I hate this show so much.
I know, right? And it's so much Beverly Hills, so much like Beverly Hills, to make the cut about Erica, make it look like everybody's confronting her and she's speaking her truth, when you know that Bravo is going to give her the rehab edit.
Yes.
They're going to make it look like, oh, we all questioned her, but then she came through and we now believe her and we stand with her and we're going to help her. She's our sister. And all along, the rest of them are just thinking, oh, I need to be careful because I could be next, because you're all in the same shitty boat.
Yes. I was terrified watching Erica when she snarls at Sutton. I was like, you are a monster. Because, you know, based on that cut is when I knew that these bitches are not going to stick up to her. Because she like literally barks at Sutton and Kyle just cringes and Dorit just opens her mouth, which is like what they always do. They don't actually come for Erica ever.
Right.
Because they're scared of her.
I feel like Sutton and Garcelle aren't going to be the only ones that don't fall for this BS, and everybody else is going to be like kissing Erica's ass.
As usual. I mean, even in the past, even with the whole Denise thing, even though the Denise thing was ultimately really stupid, but nobody actually came for Denise except for Teddy. Kyle never, ever does any of it. The only time she's ever kind of done anything is when she went to Lisa Vanderpump's house and quote unquote called her out.
And then now they're saying, oh, at least Kyle is calling out the fact that Scott and Amelia's relationship is messed up because he's almost the age.
She's laughing about it.
He could be her dad. And she's saying, oh, he's so old and he has kids and blah, blah, blah. But I'm thinking, Kyle, if anything, is feeling jealous, okay? This Kyle is not the kind of person who really cares about these things. Remember, her mother used to do the same damn thing. She would have pushed Kyle and Kim.
Allegedly, yes.
Right, allegedly. So I don't think Kyle finds it in any shape or form offensive. I think if anything, she's like, I have been throwing major parties for Kris Jenner and including her in my inner circle for all these years.
And Scott hasn't even tried to fuck a single one of my daughters.
One of my daughters. And And now Rinna gets to be part of the Kardashian money circle. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. That is what Kyle is pissed off about. Okay. Not yeah. about the relationship. She's just fucking jealous that Rinna got ahead of her.
Yeah, totally. Last week, obviously, we didn't talk about Housewives at all because we had Ben and Ronnie on. Thank you guys so much for listening to that episode.
We're still coming out of it.
We really are.
I'm still on a high.
Yeah. The episode itself was so much fun to record. It's and then also the feedback, like the all the people that are listening to our podcast now is blowing my mind. We somehow charted in the iTunes or Apple Podcasts top 100 in film and TV, which was really strange to me because who the fuck are we?
Yeah.
Who the fuck are we in this world?
But you know who we are? We are the ones that are going to print that out and frame it. Because I don't know if it'll happen again, if it'll yeah. stay there, if it'll come down. Yeah, I have no idea. It may all be like a spike. Oh, there was that one time we were in the top 100. Yeah. Guess what? I'm printing it out. I'm framing it as proof that we were there too.
If I had a Tinder, I would make that my profile picture on Tinder. But I'm not on Tinder because I'm a married woman. But you know what? Maybe I won't be a married woman. I'm going to look at the success and say, you know what? Maybe I should be a single lady on the prowl and use my
iTunes. Oh my God. No. Is he okay? Yeah, is he fine. Able to manage your ego now?
Yeah, he did say to me, hey, maybe you could make a whole podcast network and then you can give me a show on it and it would be about sports. And I was like, go away.
Yeah, I know. Maybe the husbands can have a sports podcast. Sports.
No, I'd rather not. They haven't made us a single fucking sandwich, okay?
No.
Make not me a sandwich, single bitch. One. And then maybe we talk about getting you a podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, so we didn't get to talk a lot about all the stuff that was going on last week, which luckily there was not a lot going on. But the big thing was that everybody was like, oh my God, Sutton got a diamond. Sutton got a diamond. I watched this trailer and I realized why Sutton got a diamond. Do you know why Sutton got a diamond? Because Kathy Hilton is a fucking dud. That's why.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Like I don't know why everybody thinks the Richards sisters are like so cool and fabulous and amazing. Like they're not. Like I mean, Kim was entertaining in a sad and dark way.
Yeah.
But Kim was entertaining in a way that we think is hilarious when Sonia does it, but when Kim does it, it's dark.
Sad. Yeah.
And that's why Kyle is so frazzled and like anxious and doing all these like manipulative things to stay on TV because she's not actually interesting. And I don't think Kathy Hilton is that interesting. And I know the Hilton sisters, like Paris and Nikki, were like a big deal, whatever. But like Paris Hilton is also really not that compelling of a human being. Like I know that there was a documentary and stuff and she's had a really hard life and all that stuff. And I believe all those things to be true. But I don't think any of these people are necessarily interesting people. And that's why Sutton got a diamond, because Kathy Hilton with her terrible veneers, looking like a dentist stick commercial. I was like, what am I looking at this lady?
And she's claiming that she's poor because she's in a $35 million house or something like that.
I can't stand it. So I'm excited for Sutton, but also it's like, Sutton, you got to throw away because Kathy probably at the end decided that Kathy can't be it.
Yeah.
What I didn't like in the preview, and it's something now that I've seen in New York, and now we obviously saw all of it in Dallas, and now we're seeing it in this one, is Crystal's like, she says to Sutton, oh, do you not see color?
Yeah.
And it almost feels sometimes to me like Bravo's like, see, we're going to talk about race. Don't worry, guys, don't worry. No, we're going to hold these white people accountable for it. It's like, no, Bravo, stop bringing, you know, the magical person of color to come on and talk about these things. Mm. You know, white people need to be talking to other white people about this stuff. It can't always be
exactly
the minority coming on and talking about this stuff. It can't just be like, and the thing is, Garcelle's experience is important to talk about because it's Garcelle's experience and she can explain it to them if she wants to, but it's not her job to do that. White people should be able to open their fucking eyes and see what happens, you know? It's so
like, yeah, she can comment on it, but she doesn't have to be the educator on it.
No.
You know, whenever Garcelle speaks about race or if Tiffany speaks about race, all the other women just go real quiet and then they're like, oh, I'm so sorry for that, but they don't necessarily understand it and they're so afraid that they're going to say something wrong and they just don't want to say anything about it that they don't even bother to question and ask and dig deeper. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, are we done talking about it? Okay, can we now move on so I feel safe again? That's what it feels like when you have those scenes.
Yeah, and they always will say stuff like, I just don't want to say the wrong thing. I'm just like not sure what I can say right now because I'm just like afraid of saying the wrong thing. It's like, well, are you going to say something racist? Like, if you're going to say something racist, then you should be afraid of saying the wrong thing. But like, it's sometimes feels like white people are so, so worried about, and not, it's not just specific to white people. It's not always just white people. It's also people of color. All of us have to get used to having uncomfortable conversations and saying things that we think are well-intentioned, but maybe wrong, and then being okay with somebody calling you out on it. That's the thing. Yeah. White people get quiet, and like white women on these shows get quiet. Like, I'm afraid of saying the wrong thing, because they're actually not afraid of saying the wrong thing. They're afraid of being called out. They're afraid of being embarrassed for saying the wrong thing. You know, it's not actually what hurt am I causing someone? It's I don't want to look like an idiot. And that's the problem. But anyway, I didn't really love that in the trailer. Erica was barking and it scared me. I am gonna definitely watch the show and I'm gonna be really annoyed because it's probably not gonna be that good.
Yeah, we will watch it because we want to watch for Crystal and I want to watch for Sutton and I want to watch it to see if how much bullshit Erica comes up with, because now it's come out that she signed everyone so many of those documents where she has put her signature on. So like Bethany says, you cannot be smart and stupid at the same time. So Erica, are you the smart one or the dumb one? Because how did you not know that?
Right. I'm interested to watch it because I wonder then if Jen Shah, Bravo's number one fan, is going to actually be watching the show to take tips on how to behave when you're under the white collar crime, you know, spotlight.
I feel like
Jen Shah studies housewives and that's obviously why what she came in with on season one. So I feel like now she's going to be watching Erica to see what to get away with, because she learned from Teresa, she learned from Nene, she learned from all these people how to create a persona, and now she's gonna learn how to be a criminal on television.
I don't know. Jensha is it boggles my mind. She's either very dumb or very, very smart, because why is she still online? Why is she still posting stuff? And what is she so happy about? Nothing's bothering her, unbothered. I'm like, how could you not be?
Because it gets her more attention and people talk about it and people keep talking about Jensha so long.
So that's a deep psychological issue, that you are in hot soup and you still don't understand it, you don't grasp it, and you're still going for the attention.
Yeah, she wants to be notorious. I mean, that's why I'm not saying she's a serial killer, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's why serial killers have, like, you know, little like, they're like MO.
Mementos.
You know,
how
they, they do these little things to make themselves unique and known. So, narcissism and this type of shit and notoriety and all that kind of stuff, like, all this goes together. And I'm not surprised.
It's sad, but it's,
I don't think it's sad, actually. I think it's psychotic. Okay.
It's psychotic, but no, I mean, it's sad that that kind of behavior affects so many people, because these people are so good at what they do too. When they harm people, they harm a lot of people. It's sad. That is sad. That part of it is sad.
Yes,
that it is.
That is sad. And I think that what will be really sad is how many people still stand them afterwards.
Right.
People fucking love Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
They think that
they
she's great.
Tree.
They think she paid her, you know, her paid her Dead. Dues and she's ready to move on. And they even love Joe Giudice and his massagers. Mm-hmm. So people love posting Joe Giudice stuff. They don't think
I'm
of
okay
him as a
criminal. I'm okay with you paid your dues. And I think Teresa did pay her dues by being separated from her kids and her mother.
That's
and
true.
That was sad.
That's true.
I think she paid her dues. So I don't mind so much for the tree fans, except that don't be Juicy Joe fans, because regardless of whether he's paying his dues for what he did, he is also benefiting from it, and he is also still a piece of shit. He hasn't changed much, so no. I don't think the Juicy Joe fans, I don't understand them. I guess you like muscular men who can split, but can do a split.
I think the reason why I get so irritated with people who still love Teresa, and even, look, I get it. Yes, you can serve time and then, you know, you do your part and leave, is because people of color often do not get to even serve the time. They just die. And I think that's why it pisses me off when people like love to celebrate the criminal. You know, people of color wish that they could even get a fair trial or the opportunity to go to trial or even, you know, not die in jail.
A fair judgment. I mean, even if they get prison, it's disproportionately more number of years and all that.
Or even, you know, don't even get to prison. They get shot. Yeah. So they get shot for stuff hanging in their rear view mirror. So like somebody
air fresheners.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was I really took it down a notch.
Well, it's real, and it's something that we have been talking about.
Yes,
yesterday and today, I've certainly been discussing it with a lot of people. It hit so many people. It's outrageous. Yeah. But
yeah, it is outrageous. Okay, well, let's take a turnover. Let's talk about Married to Medicine first.
But you know who did do a good apology was Anila.
Yeah, she did. She did. I actually really. I liked the conversation that Anila had with Heavenly, because the thing is, you have to put aside this kind of stuff. It was, first of all, it was a great conversation. Secondly, it was like a great apology. It was clear. Actually, that Heavenly received it quite well. Mm-hmm. The way that Heavenly talked about it with her kids was very different than how Heavenly was understanding it at the time that she was talking to Anila. So it's obvious that like she was in a different like zone in her mind.
Yes.
But it was great because Anila almost said, I know my assignment here. Okay. And this cannot be part of my assignment.
Correct.
My assignment is not this. Mm-hmm. I will come for you about being a dentist later.
Yes.
But this is not going to be part of our fight. And I love that.
This is real stuff. And then there's reality stuff. So Anila was like, this is real stuff. And I'm going to be on the right side of history for this. I'm going to do the right thing here. But reality stuff, anything goes. So I'm glad. This is the second time she's saying that, right? So the first time she explained it, but it wasn't well received. This is the second time she, in the light and love party or whatever, the crystal party, she actually apologized. And she's articulated it well. And Heavenly was in a good place to receive it. So Heavenly received it. So
maybe the crystals do work on Heavenly.
Yeah, it does. Or maybe Heavenly was trying to be nice to the what did she call Lisa Nicole and Carrie?
I don't know, but I called them leftover friends from previous seasons. What did she call them?
She called them recycled friends.
Yeah. Maybe she was trying to be nice in front of the recycled friends. It's possible. Mm-hmm. Okay. So over the last 2 weeks on Married to Medicine, Simone sent her son off to college for like an entire episode. And, you know, I talked before about how much I love Simone and her son. But last week I was watching and I was like, can we get the show on the road? I don't think we need to keep watching this. It was like the longest drop off ever.
I know. I like the fact that Simone and Cecil were being like the parents and reflecting on what the struggle is. He was not going to HBCU, which would be automatically a safe environment, but he was going to the regular schools and they were worried for him. And at the same time, the boys are in the other car and they're talking about girls and what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And it was the juxtaposition of the two was so sweet for me. Like the parents are worried, but the sons are okay.
Right. But that's one scene. That was an entire episode of Simone sending her son off to college. And I was like, you know, we don't need this. Okay. Also, Simone also heads towards making amends with Jackie with the help of Heavenly.
Uh-huh.
Heavenly fixes teeth. And she also gets a call from Reverend Al Sharpton to join him at the March on Washington.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that Heavenly didn't drive her car off the road, if I'm going to be honest with you. Because if he called me, then I would have driven my car off the road.
So that's why I felt like that was maybe they had told Heavenly that it was going to be Al Sharpton. And she was trying to act because I would have pulled off the road. I wouldn't have kept going and talking about all of this. Al Sharpton calls you. You pull off the road and you have a proper conversation.
Yeah. Drive into like a Starbucks and just park your car outside of a CVS or something. Like, why are you still driving?
Yeah, it was very big. Yeah.
And then Contessa. Contessa relied on crystals to heal the group. And I realized what I don't like about her is Contessa reminds me of, like, I've seen this of, like, moms in our families, uh-huh. which is that they have this sort of, like, martyr mom syndrome of it doesn't matter how good things in their life are, but they will purposely add on projects to make themselves look busier and attain more and all this stuff to almost look like, oh, my life is so busy. My life is so busy. And this is why I'm so miserable all the time, because my life is so busy. It's like, okay, but like, you need to chill out. Like, yes, you needed to get your kitchen done, but at the same time, you have like probably $1 million house still, and you have free nannies at home with your husband's niece and her girlfriend. Like, you've got a pretty good life, Contessa. But Contessa, I feel like every season adds on a new project to make herself look so busy and so important. And it's almost like a reason for why she doesn't like her husband or why she doesn't have time for her kids. Like, it's this martyr mom thing that I've seen women in our communities also take on, especially our moms, because I feel like it's almost like if they stop doing stuff and just appreciate what's in front of them, they're gonna realize that, like, emotionally they're not complete. So then they're going to get even more upset. Like, that's what I realized about Contessa I hate.
So when you first started describing this mom, I thought, is she talking about me? Then you took a detour of $1 million and $1 million home and five nannies. I was like, nah, she's not talking about me. And then you ended up by saying, if you don't do all of the other stuff, and if you just sit quietly, you'll realize that you are not happy. And I'm like, bitch, you're talking about me.
No, I'm not. Okay, first of all, I'm not talking about you because you're not a miserable person. Secondly, if you do feel like I am talking about you, then you should be like, oh, you're shit, like, let me not be like... Yeah, no, you should be like, shit, if I'm being like Contessa, I better stop it right now. Contessa fucking sucks. Like, this is what the thing, like, she even that scene where she's like stomping around her kitchen and then like going to sit outside with her niece and like look at crystals and stuff. It's like, oh, I have to have this full glass of wine because my life is so stressed out. Like, bitch, you are in full glam. You are in full glam with your tit out. And like, you're sitting there acting like your life is so fucking hard because your kitchen renovation is difficult. I feel like every season Contessa is a grumpy goose, and I'm tired of watching a grumpy goose on TV.
But I don't think it's that. I don't think she's a martyr mom or anything of that sort. I think she doesn't have a storyline. Again, one more year of no storyline. So she's like, what can I make a storyline of? Oh, yes, let me start with the kitchen. The kitchen is broken. And then I have these two girls here. Let me say Crystal. And then, by the way, maybe have a fight with what's his name again, just to say that he could be cheating. I don't know. And that will create a storyline.
Well, here's the thing. You're calling it a storyline, but in real life, that is what makes a martyr. Like a martyr woman. It's almost like in real life, you don't get to have a camera follow you around. Mm-hmm. In real life, you become a more interesting or a special friend, somebody that people will give more attention to.
No. A martyr woman, maybe. I was thinking martyr mom. And I was like, she's not that. She's not the mom who does. But definitely a martyr syndrome.
No, but like aunties, I call them martyr moms because what my mom is like. But like, the aunties in our community, they love to just like, woe is me all the time. And that's the thing with Contessa. Right. She's always woeing is me. And I'm so tired of watching it. And yet it doesn't make you actually an interesting person. And it doesn't actually give you an interesting storyline. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to watch you be miserable. And here's the thing. It was different when Simone and Cecil were having issues, because by that point in the show, we had already connected with Simone and Cecil as a couple. We were invested in them as a family.
Right.
So when they all of a sudden were not like in sync, it was like, oh shit, that is really upsetting. Right. But we've never had the opportunity to fall in love with Contessa and Scott as a couple, to ever be like, oh no, Scott is cheating. What? Yeah. I'm so surprised. Like, I don't hope Scott is cheating, but.
Yeah, because it's also because Contessa and Scott's storyline has always been, we are not getting along together. It's never been, oh, we love each other and something else is a storyline. So it's been the only storyline she's had is that she and Scott don't get along for one reason or another. They're arguing. And she's like, is this going to be my life? I'm like, can you imagine Scott's reaction to all of this? is this going to be my life? Or my wife goes on national TV and thinks that I might be having an affair?
Yeah. She's always dragging her family down and I hate it.
If he's having an affair, he's having an affair. But you just don't assume that unless you feel you have some proof or you can talk about it. Don't mention it on national TV. That was just weird. Yeah. What is their cause? Maybe that is the cause. Maybe he cheated, she found out, and they haven't talked about it. And that's what they have been bickering about all this time.
Who knows? I don't even think that's what it is. I think she just says stuff to stay on TV.
Yeah. And if that is a storyline, you know, other people have already done that. So let's, yeah, it's not interesting.
I've seen this many times. She's not interesting. Get her off. Okay, let's not talk about her anymore because she's not interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I'd rather watch Lisa Nicole, by the way.
I would also rather watch Lisa Nicole and Carrie try to crawl up Toya's butt to stay on TV. Okay.
Right.
I'd rather watch that kind of desperation because that is very transparent desperation. That's not desperation. That's like masked in, you know, some sort of noble thing like a business or your education or your marriage. Uh-huh. It's straight. Like, we are here in full glam so we can get on your TV show that we got fired off of.
Yeah. Lisa Nicole walking into Toya's house in that beautiful dress. And Toya's like, that's not a cover up. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're coming from a charity. And Lisa Nicole saying, yeah, I'm coming from a charity. And that's why I'm in full glam. I'm like, yeah, okay, Lisa Nicole. So you are the equivalent. Lisa Nicole is the Jen Shah equivalent, right? She has a similar business. She has that clothing business, but she also has multiple businesses. She does do an MLM. So
she is the MLM queen.
Yeah. I want to see Lisa Nicole.
I know. I would much rather.
Yeah, I know.
And Kari.
And Kari.
Kari.
She's smart. Kari, who thinks she's smart.
Yeah, she's
smart. That's great. Yeah,
she looks good though. I mean, Kari has aged well.
She has. I felt like she looked younger and fitter now than she did in the first season.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Okay, so Summer House. Over the last 2 weeks of Summer House, the fight between Luke, Kyle, and Carl blows over. Luke comes back to the house and he cries and Hannah is a jerk. Then everyone's boyfriend visits, Dez, Stravi, Rob, but not Perry. And we learn that, you know, Dez is as gross and disgusting as Hannah is. And they're a match made in fucking, hell, you know Swamp. I'll tell you what they're a match made in. Have you ever seen the ads for those hotels, those romantic getaway hotels in the Poconos with like the champagne glass jacuzzis in the bedrooms and stuff?
Uh-huh.
They're like a match made in like a heart-shaped vibrating bed in like a nasty motel in the Poconos. You know, like that's what they are.
Sticky vinyl flooring.
Yes, exactly. Ugh, they're so gross.
And, you know, a gross in-house restaurant that has like food that has been reheated twice or three times.
Because that's nacho
the kind
chips.
Of hotel that Lorianne and I stayed in once. So I'm bringing it up as memory of how we went to a crappin' show and couldn't find hotel rooms to stay over. So we found this motel that was crawling with cockroach.
Ew!
It was disgusting. It was it was disgusting.
Oh no!
And there were people sitting on easy chairs with wife beaters on, and there was one little kitchen or dining area, and they said, oh, you'll have breakfast is included. It was like dried sausages and eggs that had clearly been reheated multiple times, and we didn't even drink coffee. We walked in and then we left. We're like, nope, we'll stop at the Delaware Gap.
Yes. You were better off sleeping in your car at the Valero. Okay,
exactly.
All right, so
that's where Des and Hannah's relationship is from that place.
Yeah,
and
it's for sure it's,
Des is disgusting. He is completely
very adorable. I love the pun. I love that you're so cute.
It's laughterbaiter, okay? Laughterbaiter. I'm a laughterbaiter.
Yeah. Okay, so Des came in, and I did appreciate that immediately Kyle was like, oh, he looks exactly like me. This is fucking weird. And I'm glad everybody else appreciated too. And one of the funniest things I found was Paige, who was Hannah's best friend, is like, everybody's like, oh, so what do you think about Des? And Paige is like, she's like the male Hannah. They're both so loud. I could tell that Paige is so irritated with, like, the sight of Hannah and Perry, or Hannah, oh God, Hannah and Perry, Hannah and Des together. Yes. Like, she's watching.
I think she's annoyed by it. She has been annoyed the past couple of episodes. I think she's going to say it's because of Perry and not because of Hannah. But I have a feeling underlying all of that is Paige is not happy with Hannah. So I'm surprised that they're still friends and doing the Giggly Squad or whatever.
Well, lately, the internet has been saying that their page has been liking posts that talk about how Hannah led Luke on, tweets about Hannah being not great. Yeah, yeah. So I think Paige might be turning over, because the other thing is, did Hannah go to Winterhouse? I don't think she did.
No, she didn't.
Hannah didn't go to Winterhouse. Paige did go to Winterhouse. Lindsay, Paige, Amanda, and Sierra went to Winterhouse. Sierra are
there, yeah.
And now the other thing is, though, the rumors are that Paige may or may not be dating the pillow king of the South. Yeah,
Conover Law.
Yeah. A lucrative attorney. A very famous attorney.
Okay, famous attorney.
In the South. Yeah.
I don't know if it's lucrative, but not lucrative yet, but he's famous.
No, we don't know yet. But he is famous. He's got pillows and a, you know, he did pass the bar. So,
yeah.
But what did you think of Luke's reaction when Des just drops the bomb that he and Hannah had been having sex?
Fucking Des came in wanting to be on TV and on camera, and he was doing so much, just too much throughout the first two episodes. Like, hey man, there's cameras on, at least act like you don't feel comfortable that somebody's staring at you. You're like performing. Performing to the camera. This is just okay.
Yeah.
And then be cool, right? And then here's Hannah. And you know when that happened, when he said that, Hannah was like smiling and she's looking at Des, and there was like, they shared a laugh. You know that couple that likes to have like, oh, here's something silly and secretive that we're doing, and we're going to do this, and we're going to laugh about it together, and people are not going to understand why we are laughing, and it's a secret between us, and they're always doing that. I felt like...
Like an inside joke?
Yeah, like an inside joke, and that he was saying it, and it was agreed upon by him and Hannah that he would blurt it out like that, and they would look at Luke and see his reaction. Or I mean, that they would put it, they would create a question in the storyline by saying that, and then that it would make sense for Des to have more scenes. You know what I mean? Like, it was just felt like he did that deliberately. First of all, he did it deliberately, but it felt like Hannah was in on it. Like, they planned
it. I think, first of all, Hannah's been quote unquote complaining about Luke for the last 5 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And look, I know this game. The game is that you're dating a guy or you like a guy and you talk to that guy about another guy who is totally obsessed with you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you do. And then that guy comes in and it's a big like dick swinging competition and everybody's like, oh, who, you know, you decide which one wants to get the girl more. So Des is just playing into Hannah's manipulation. Hannah has told him, Luke has been totally not respecting my boundaries, and he's like so obsessed with me, and he told me to take it slow with you. And so Des is coming in and saying, yeah, I fucked her. So I'm pissing on my territory right now, and I'm letting you know who's boss. But the thing is, Des is like an awkward comedian, nerdy guy. So he's not going to do it in a macho sort of way. He's going to do it in a jokey sort of way, which is what happened. But it just was, it came off really insensitive and weird. Like, who says that at the table?
And if you were Hannah, wouldn't you be sort of taken aback and say, no, don't say that or something? It was almost like she relished the fact that he said it.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the whole point. That's why she fed him all this information for weeks and weeks and weeks before he got there, so that it made him want to throw that in Luke's face. Right. Because right. she's pissed off about the fact that Luke brought Sierra to the house without telling her.
Right.
And maybe if Luke had not brought Sierra to the house, I wouldn't be surprised if Hannah was like, oh, yeah, there's this guy I'm dating, or this guy was talking to Dez and, you know, we fucked or whatever. Like, I yeah. think she's somebody who would have told Luke that information. Yeah. But I think Hannah is essentially just trying to get back at Luke for not telling mm-hmm. her about Sierra. Mm-hmm. And it's really dumb and it's really gross. I mean, Hannah's gross because she even then goes as far as going and having sex in Kyle and Amanda's bathroom. Because she wants to make a point.
That was like the grossest thing ever. Can you imagine? First of all, even going into somebody else's bedroom, that's their private space. You don't go into it when, especially when they're not there, you're just walking. It's not just you're walking in on them, walking into their room or whatever. They're not even there. You open the door and go into their private space. That's just so wrong. It's so stupid and disgusting.
You know what, Arthi? I would say it's even disrespectful.
Okay. That was a good one. It was better than I would say it's disgusting, but okay, so it's disrespectful.
You are, no, I was just playing off of your joke.
Yeah, I know. I know. You tried. You tried. It was okay. Try okay, harder. You're not going to be able to come up with anything better than disgusting.
I mean, it's the same. Because we're replacing dis with des. What is the difference? He's disrespectful. Do you think that he took a pill? Because what 44-year-old man is,
yes. is oh my God. Of course he did.
He had to have. I was like, yeah, you were not a 20-year-old.
No, he definitely, I felt like he I was going to say he was on blow, but because he kept going, he was like hyper, the way he walked into the house and knocking into the house and then jumping it around. And he was so, and he kept munching. Did you see? He kept going into the refrigerator and eating.
Oh, maybe some Adderall?
Yeah, something. He yeah. was high on something. He might have snorted Adderall because the way he was going was like mile a minute. And then he started picking things. He was like eating strawberries and then chips and he's just standing yeah. there eating. And I was like, that's weird. Like, you just walked in, you just don't go and get their big bag of snacks that everybody puts their hand into and start eating it. It's not, no, that's not what you yeah. do. And so he was no. like, something's wrong with him. He felt weird. And then now what you're saying may be true. He might be on both that and Cialis.
Yeah, a Cialis Adderall cocktail. Literally yeah. a cocktail.
He snorted a Cialis Adderall cocktail. Otherwise known as cocaine. No.
Jax Taylor is watching Summer House and he's like, okay, so he did what? He's listening. Jax is listening to our podcast and taking down notes. Yeah, it was something. And then at one point she's just like making an appetizer or something and he's like, oh, you're so funny. I was like, she didn't say anything that was funny. Yes. Like, this is
that's problem. What I'm saying. He was on something. He was high on something because he had a cocktail of something. Yes. You know, before he went on, because he was horny and he was like over the top, he had his yeah, munchies it on. It was a lot. Des was a lot. See, now we cannot. Des a lot. No, it doesn't work.
No, of course, because that's not one word.
No, I was making another. I was taking in one
letter. No, but it doesn't make sense. That doesn't even make any sense, Arthi.
I know it did. That's what I'm saying. I was trying to make that joke. It didn't work. I said it didn't make sense. I didn't say it did. I said I tried and it didn't work. I admitted it right away. What's wrong with that?
You're desrailing this episode, okay? Okay. Anyway, so as hyper as Des was, Rob took whatever the op. He took like a he chewed up yes. an entire jar of melatonin.
Yes.
into the house. And you know what? I really understood because
Hi.
I understood because
I feel like I see so much of myself in Danielle. So that like sort of awkward, I really like this guy. We're going to sit by the pool. And the first thing she says is, you see those snails at the bottom of the pool? They commit suicide. I was like, that is totally what I would do. Be like, I really like this guy. So I'm going to talk about death.
He's like, probably wasn't a suicide. I'm like, okay. Okay, like, Robert, you are very pretty, but you don't say much, do you?
Yeah. Apparently, they're still very much together. They live together, and he went to the winter house. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I hope his personality comes through once he gets comfortable.
But I think that's what Danielle needs. I think Danielle wants to be with a guy like that. Because obviously, true. Danielle has been with a guy like Carl, who is, you know, life of the party. And I don't think that obviously, that does not work for her. But I mean, I kind of related to it. Like, I related to it, but at the same time, I realized watching them why I don't need to see people who are like us on TV. People like us don't need to be on TV, okay? Yeah. We need more crazy. Yes, Dez and Hannah are disgusting, but I want to see more people like that and not people like Rob and Danielle.
I want funny crazy, not sad crazy. And we would be crazy too, but it would be the kind of sad and boring crazy.
No, I don't even think we would be that crazy. I think we'd be very like chill. We would be talking about snails committing suicide at the bottom of the pool. Like we wouldn't even, I don't even think we would, you know. But, like, I think that's why Lindsay and Stravi are a great combination. Because I think they're a perfect mix of somebody like Danielle and Rob and somebody as insane as Dez and Hannah. Because they obviously have their insanity mostly from Lindsay. And then they have the boring from Stravi. And together, they're great. Uh-huh.
So what did you think of the new couple in the house? Luke and Stravi.
The bond they have. It was so funny. And they were like, Luke is like, I love him. He's my friend. We're so close. But you know what? That's guys. Like, that's how guys are. Because, like, my husband has friends like that where, like, he's like, yeah, I love that guy. Like, we love spending time together, whatever. And, like, when they're together, they're just existing in the same space. And they sort of just, like, like grunt at each other. Then they're done.
That is so true. It's like you only talk about things that matter. You don't talk to me about feelings. You're in the same space and we leave each other alone. And that's the kind of friendship that I get from my closest friend. So that would so much be my husband too. He would be like, just sit there. So he and his friends can go for hours in the same room without speaking to each other. And they will feel like they had a meaningful relationship and they had a good, they feel rejuvenated and they feel good about having met each other. But it's like, you didn't talk, you didn't communicate, you didn't tell anything to each other. You were just there watching TV together. It's like, that's what you need.
So Paige, this episode got more drunk than we've seen her in the past few episodes because she's obviously upset about Perry not coming. But she does this like very transparently bitchy thing where she's obviously upset that her boyfriend is clearly not interested in coming to the house at all. So instead of being happy for Lindsay, she's just like, ugh, I don't know, like flowers and candles, that would never get me to listen. Like, it's like, come on, Paige. You would just be happy if your boyfriend did like one little thing and he doesn't do anything. So instead of like appreciating Lindsay, she's just like putting down Stravi. I was like,
yeah,
that's like such a bitchy, transparent thing to do. But I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
If I was miserable.
I would do the same thing. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you more irritated with Perry for being this way to Paige? Or do you think this is what Paige signed up for and she should just deal with it?
I think neither. I think this is what, because Perry is a much older guy, his expectation of, you know, in a relationship and what he wants to do in a relationship may be very different from a younger guy dating Paige. Paige, on the other hand, is younger and she is expecting Perry to give up his work and jump and come drive up to, you know, and be part of this whole TV show. And I don't think he wants to be. So it feels like they're not a good match. They're not bad people and they're not one is not worse than the other. Yes, Perry should have done a lot more and been there with her. But I think when Paige said, yeah, I understand you don't have to be part of this and went off to do it, Perry, you know, truly assumed that she would be able to handle that without him, that she could go weeks without any touch point or any of that, because he just expected something completely different from her.
Okay, like, he's more not independence. That old.
How old is he?
I'm trying
Why
to figure
it out. Keep talking about him as if he's like 10, 12 years older?
Paige is 28 and she thinks that Lindsay at 34 is like old. So I don't know about that.
Maybe that's why I feel like he's old, but I don't know what the difference is.
Let's see.
But I feel like they don't realize their age difference and how each of them assumes the other to be okay.
Do you want to know how old Perry is?
Oh my God. My whole theory is going to fall apart now.
He's 38. He's not that old. Yeah. He's like around Kyle's age. So it's not like he's that old. So that's the thing. Like, what irritates me about Perry is, and just listen up, anybody who wants to date a girl on reality TV or a guy on reality TV. I hate when people decide to date somebody who is already on a successful reality TV show and then says, oh, I'm not going to be on camera because that's just like not for me. Like, okay, but you know that you are into her because she's on TV, right? Like, you realize that that's a part of her job. So I get that you're saying like, oh, it's just your job and I'm going to like not be a part of it. But at some point you have to realize that you are dating a reality TV star. So you are going to have to actually be on reality TV once or twice. And the other thing is, everybody was like, oh, well, he's a restaurant owner. And so business was really crazy last summer. He's a restaurant owner in Long Island and he is partners on a restaurant. He doesn't actually run a restaurant. He has money from like years of working at like Goldman Sachs or something. Like, the guy is rich. He's super duper rich. And so this whole thing of like, you know, work is so busy for me or whatever, you can't come. You're in Long Island. You can't come to the Hamptons for like a meal with your girlfriend. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
But I hate that shit.
Yeah. But if you think and Paige is just young enough to put up with some stuff because she thinks that maybe she feels that she's not quite, she's in awe of this older man, successful man. And it's kind of hard for her to stand up for herself in that relationship. Yeah. But it's also hard for her to let go of that relationship because she's expecting a lot more. Like, she has very high expectations of herself in that relationship.
Yeah. And I'm sure she's looking at Kyle and Amanda, who have a quite a big age difference too.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees somebody like Kyle who does like to party. And she probably goes, oh, well, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, I don't want that, but I also want to date an older guy with some money. So I guess that's just what I have to settle for, is somebody who isn't going to be around my party friends. But I actually felt sad for her, like when she was crying because she didn't want to have a conversation. That was the one moment I have to say that Hannah was being a really good friend to her, when she said, like, you have to speak up for yourself. Like, you have to be able to talk. Mm-hmm. It broke my heart to see Paige cry, because I realized in that moment that Paige is like confident and fun and spunky and all that stuff, but actually Paige is quite sad.
And that she's quite sad and insecure. I was about to say that that's exactly what I was about to say, was that she feels she's very confident and comes off as confident in her approach, but I think she is very, she's still insecure. She's insecure because she has been in this relationship with an older, successful guy. And I think if she had a relationship with Craig Conover, maybe the blessing that she needs, because Craig Conover will make you feel so much more accomplished, so much more smarter. And, you know, would just make you, your confidence, your in your own self-worth will soar after you spend time with Craig. So
I know,
maybe that is the right thing. Maybe she would feel empowered in a relationship with somebody who's not older or, in her mind, wiser in how you should live life.
I think in an alternate universe, Paige and Carl would work out.
Yeah, I think so. Carl was asked on, I think it was Watch What Happens. Somebody asked, it was like a quiz, like, well, who would you date? Would you date? Yeah. Why aren't you dating Paige or whatever? And he was like, she has a boyfriend. But I can see, I was just not in a good space when I met her.
Yes,
but I can see it happening.
Yeah. It's one of those, like,
they keep missing each other type things, you know? Oh, I love that. Oh, and then like maybe when they're older, if Paige is still single, it'll be like, oh, like Carl and oh, okay. Now I'm officially like
now shipping. You're tripping. No? You're doing a happy trip. I actually was filled with dread that we have to watch this play out for many, many seasons of Summer House. Them missing each other, and that's going to be the next Rachel and Ross situation.
No, like, let's not go crazy, okay? Carl and Paige are not going to be Ross and Rachel. Oh, that's good. Well, we'll see what else happens on Thursday with Summer House.
It's been a couple of fun episodes of Summer House. This season has been a fun.
It has been a very fun season. And I'm just excited for not just the entire house in Summer House, but the entire country to now go full Team Luke against
Anna. Yeah.
Because that was great. Okay, so then we'll talk to you guys. What else is happening? Yes. I feel like I'm forgetting something.
I have the same feeling.
Oh, we are going to have a guest next week.
Yes. A returning guest.
Yeah. So Saturday, it's just going to be our dumb voices again. But next, our next Married to Medicine Summer House episode, we are going to have a guest on. Yes. A returning guest, like Arthi said.
Yes.
And
it'll be fun.
I think that you are going to love it. We can say who it is, right? Well, no, we shouldn't, just in case.
No, we should, just in case she gets it. By the way, don't cancel.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk to you next week. Bye.